It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do a great Amber May show. Is here with topics you like out in the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Thank you so much for joining me again on the Amber May show. I just want to let you know if you would like to visit my website at theambermayshow.com. And while you're there, if you could just go on to my survey page, take a quick few seconds and fill out the surveys just so I know some information about you, because I can't see you and I know you can hear me, and I see you guys all the time visiting the website. It's great and I appreciate you guys. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, you can write me at P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. That's P.O. Box 5162, Peoria, Arizona 85385. Also, while you're on the website, hit me up. Email me. You can email me right there on the contact page. And if you believe in what I'm doing and want to support the show, you can always do that by going to the donation page. Well, you know, we've had a lot of talks before about, in the past, about God and family and how he reveals himself to us through family. And today we're going to talk more about family, because there are so many different families out there in the world. And the world says, hey, this family structure is okay, and that family structure is okay, and this family structure is okay. But we're going to talk about the way God set up family and reasons why he set up the family the way he did. And I've told you before, you know, God's in control, but he also lets us make our own decisions. And if you don't want to live the way that God asks us to live in the Bible, he's like, this way is the best way for you to live. It has the less amount of pain this way. You're going to be the most happiest if you live your life this way. But you can live your life other ways if you want to. But that's not God's design, but he will let you do that if you so choose, and if you want to follow the other ways of way families live. But today joining me is Meredith Seaborn. She's a wife, she's a mother, but more importantly, she's been in ministry alongside her husband. They're building a church, and so as she's gone through her journey of being a wife and a mother, she's come across this understanding of family and priorities that God put into our lives to help us and give us the best outcome with our families. So I'd like to welcome Meredith to the program and ask her to talk to us about maybe why God set up the family the way he did. Welcome, Meredith.
Thank you, Amber. It's my pleasure to be here and talk to you about this. My name is Meredith Seaborn. I've been married to my husband, Jonathan Seaborn, for 9 years, almost 10. And we've moved out here to Phoenix, Arizona, from Dallas to start a church. This is our first opportunity to plant a church, and it's called Imago Dei Community Church, and we're currently meeting in a high school, Barry Goldwater High School. My husband went to Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas, Texas, and that experience has just brought a rich opportunity for me to read and learn and grow right beside him. We've lived in Phoenix now 2 years, and we have 3 kids. We have our son, Luke, who's 5 years old. We have Natalie, who's 3, and Nathan, who's now 1. It's a joy for us to be parents of these 3 kids, but we've taught us so much about how to balance our family and how to walk the Christian life. So that's kind of what I want to share with you today, is what does it mean to be a woman in the Christian life from the female's perspective? And I'm not perfect, and I don't think that I am. I don't want you to be just like me. I don't want you to think just like me. I definitely feel and believe the passage from Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I know that we aren't perfect, but from these truths that I've learned from my time in seminary and walking alongside Jonathan and through life, it just really impacted my life and has really changed my perspective. As you think about the things that the world teaches us and this society, every time you turn on the TV, what's being blasted in front of our faces to think that this is the way that our life should be lived. So I do feel like there's a lot of Christian liberties. We have a lot of freedom to live in the Christian life. There's a lot of boundaries. So if you, your life may end up looking different than mine, because of the specifics and the way you carry out each of these priorities that I want to share with you today. But I think by and large, there's some basic principles that we can learn and walk together in. There are different seasons of life, and there are different personalities and designs. So that's where a lot of variety comes in there, along with the Christian liberties. But I think ultimately we're looking at and want to consider, where's your heart? Does the Lord have your heart, and does he have you fully? Are you following him fully, or are you just doing things because either you don't know why, or because it's popular, or that's what culture tells us? So I have six priorities I'd like to share with you, and I think as you think through them, you'll realize that value of priority doesn't necessarily correspond with the exact time that you spend in each priority. But I do think it's as you live out your life, how do you design your day? How do you think through your day as to whether or not you're living through these priorities? So again, don't think value equals the time that I spend in each one, because everyone has different seasons and different shapes in their life. So it does also, one more thing I'd like to share is it does come with some sacrifices sometimes. So up front, I want to tell you that you may have to make some changes, make some sacrifices, but I think it'll be worth it. And then the fruit and the wisdom that you'll gain through living out these priorities will show eternal richness that you can't replace. So I read a book called Creative Counterpart by Linda Dillo. She is a woman that her husband also went to the same seminary at Dallas, and she just shared a lot of wisdom, and she was actually 34 years old when she wrote this book. Now she's since revised it a couple times, but as a grown woman, and she still stands by the things that she taught during this time. But I want to share a quote with you. She said, "Too many women have been brainwashed to think the life of a wife and mother consists entirely of the three C's: cooking, cleaning, and carpooling. Yes, there are frustrated wives, but there are frustrated engineers, airplane pilots, and karate instructors. But the frustration does not stem from the nature of the word. Rather, it comes from the boredom inevitable and in any job done poorly or unimaginatively. A creative counterpart is more than just a helper. She's a woman who, having chosen or having found herself in the vocation of the wife and mother, decides to learn and grow in all areas of this role and to work as hard as if she were aiming for the presidency of a corporation." And again, that's Linda Dillo. I think that's true. I think that if we are just boringly looking at our life or unimaginatively looking at our life thinking, how do we get through this? I think we're going to find ourselves in a rut, and we're not going to be living the fullness life that Christ has for us.
I could totally see that. And I could also see maybe if the woman doesn't feel appreciative, maybe the husband isn't vocal about, hey, you know, I really appreciate my meals every night and my laundry being done. And if you just go in and out day to day and you never feel like you're worth anything, I could see how you could feel that way. Or if you just feel like it's not as important as maybe someone who works in corporate America. But being a mother is probably the most important job, because you're raising these kids to go and do something in their future, and you're going to have this big hand in helping them achieve their purpose in life. But if you don't feel appreciative, or if you don't look at it that way, like maybe I'm just a stay-at-home mom, or I'm just this, you could get bored. And I could see that, because a lot of moms say, I just talk to babies all day, I have no grown-up time, and I do get bored. So that's a really great thing to make us think about, that there's something else out there for us.
I think you're right. I think I've spent seasons of my life where I sat at home with my newborn baby and thought, he can't even make two sentences back to me. What is my day about? What am I doing? And you find yourself doing things that, you know, getting yourself in rhythms or habits that really aren't helpful for you. Mm-hmm. And you spend a lot of time wasted doing things that aren't valuable towards helping raise your children in the long run, or being a better wife to your husband. So I think we can look at the idea that, and the thought that Linda Dillo shared with us, that in this pursuit, we have to think about that it's a balance. It's a balance between what God does in our life and what we do in our life. And Ultimately, God has control and is sovereign over our lives, but I can promise you, God will be faithful to you, and he is going to walk you down your path that he has for you, that what he has ordained for you specifically. And so he's going to do his 100%, but you also have to give 100% too. You can't come at this Christian life haphazardly. You have to put in energy and effort. It's going to take work and sacrifice, but it can be a lot of fun, and the rewards will be beyond what you can really see for yourself. So I'd like to share the first priority that God has for us is that our focus on the Lord, and it's a focus on him. He says in his scripture in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He also shares in Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your heart with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. The relationship with God must come first. That will set the tone for all the other priorities that come in your life. How to be a good wife, how to be a good mother, how to take care of your home, how to do things outside of your home with your friends and your family. If you don't have the priority, if God is first in your life, I think you'll find yourself struggling and suffering, because as I'd stated before, the Lord wants your heart and he wants you and he wants all of you.
So having God as number one, are you trying to let us know that if we follow the way God has for us by honoring our husband, by being maybe that Proverbs 31 woman where you might, where she's honorable, mm-hmm. and she's a good worker and she takes care of her home, where she's following the model that God has for her, then the reward of following and obeying God is just going to manifest in our life, where we're going to have more peace and joy in our homes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also just being aware of his word and what his word teaches us and what his word shares with us. Sometimes we find ourselves with young children to have long seasons where we don't even know, we haven't seen our Bible in a long time. So just having that understanding of who he is and his character and his faithfulness, and those moments later, as we share about being a good godly wife or a godly mother, when you're pressed and you're stressed, you can lean back on those truths that you have knit with inside of you.
I could also attest to, if we do put God number one and we realize that God is our father, just like we have earthly fathers, when we come in those times of need, when money's short or car breaks down or whatever, we don't have to necessarily just think, how can I do it? How can I overcome it? We can take that to God and say, God, this is the need I have in my life right now. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know you're going to work it out for me. Because you as a mother and your husband as a father, would you ever let your kids go starving? Wouldn't you try everything you could do to take care of them? So if you can do that, isn't God even more than that?
Yes, absolutely. I think he knows and he hears our cries and he hears our hearts and he knows our deepest sorrows and our struggles, and he knows our joys and our praises. He knows what we desire and what we want for our children. We want them to have food. We want them to have a beautiful clothes and toys that they can play with and all the beautiful things that our world has for us. And so I think we can do that by going to him in prayer. I think that is a significant step of how you make practically, how do you make God the priority of your life? You have to go to the Lord in prayer. You have to go to the Lord just as you are. And maybe that means, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how you're going to provide this time, but I know that you're faithful and I know that you will.
This isn't the end of the series. Please join us next week to hear the continuation of Meredith and her sharing with us what she has learned with dealing with family. Remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else. Because eventually, number two will look out for you.